Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto the supermost human being Narayan Rishi. Oh, sorry, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being. Unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. And unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. And Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. And by rendering service unto the pure devotees. All that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So today is text 3, chapter 14, 10th canto. Here's the verse. Jnane prayasam upa udapasyam namanta eva. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Jivanti samukaritam bhavadi advartam. Jivanti sa mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Stane stita shuta gatim tanuvan manobir. Stane stita shuta gatam tanuvan manobir. Ye praya so jita jito pyasi tais trilokyam. Ye praya so jita jito pyasi tais trilokyam. Tais. Jnane praya sam udapasya namantam eva. Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Stane stita shuta gatim tanuvan manobir. Ye praya so jita jito pyasi tais trilokyam. Jnane praya samudapasya namantam eva.
Jivanti san mukamitam bhavantadiya vartam.
Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam.
Stane strita srutigatam tanuvan manobir.
Stane stitam srutigatam tanuvan manobir.
Ye
praya so jita jito preyasitais trilokyam.
Ye praya so jita jito preyasitais trilokyam.
Jnane prayasamudapasyanamantameva. Jivanti santi artam pyavya vartam. Stane stita shuti gatam tanu van mano vir. Ye prayaso jita jito pyasi tais trilokyam. Jnane prayasam udapasya namantam eva. Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Stane stita shruti gatam tan vanonono bir. Ye prayaso jita jito pyasitais trilokyam. Jnane prayasam upadasya namantameva. Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Stane stita shruti gatam tan mano mano bir. Ye prayaso jita jito pyasitas trilokyam. One more lady. Jnane prayasam upadasya namantam eva. Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Stane stita shruti gatam tan vanon mano bir. Ye prayaso jita jito pyasi tais trilokyam. Jnane for knowledge. Prayasam, the endeavor. Upadasya, giving up completely. Namanta, offering obeisances. Eva, simply. Jivanti, live. Sat mukaritam, chanted by the pure devotees. Bhavadiya vartam, topics related to you. Stane, in their material position. Stita, remaining. Shrutigatam, received by hearing. Tanu, with their body. Vak, words. Manobi, and mind. So these three words, tan, vak, manobi, are going to be commented on in the purport in three different ways, by body, mind, and words. Yay, who, prayasa, for the most part, ajita, unconquerable one, jita, conquered. Api, nevertheless. Asi, you become. Tai, by them. Trilokyam, within the three worlds. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge with their body, words, and mind, and with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. Okay, what did they say there? I can't remember your name. Vaishnava.
Well, they're saying that you can remain in whatever position you are, but if you're offering everything to Krishna, then he will be conquered by that love.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Vaishnava. And what were some other things mentioned in that verse? Pass microphone, please.
I guess that it says that one should offer respects to the descriptions of the personalities, and just by the offering of the respects, you know, it's just so interesting that you become purified or whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
what is there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much just the hearing of it, but also honoring them.
Honoring them.
Them, you know.
And how do you honor them?
Well, by hearing them.
Okay. One is by hearing them. And any other ways that you can think of? Arjuna ji? Having faith in them. Anything else? Sankalpa? Apply them. How else?
Sharing
them, speaking them. That's how another way one honors them. And by that one becomes actually enlivened and purified also. Yes, Prabhu? You got the mic right there.
Dedicating their lives to these narrations, I was thinking. Dedicating your life to the narrations.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Means that is the ultimate reality, right where we'll enter. So, like, yeah. I was thinking personally, like, doing plays and doing something that we show these narrations to everyone.
Right. That, very good. Okay, here's what it says in the purport. Here, the word udapasya clearly indicates that one should not even slightly endeavor to understand the absolute truth by the process of mental speculation, for it invariably carries one into an imperfect, impersonal understanding of God. That's such an important point, how when one tries by mental speculation to understand the absolute truth, there's no way that they can come to the conclusion that there's a little blue boy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing with his coward boyfriends in a land that's totally spiritual, where there's loving exchanges, and that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By your mind, there's no way you can come to that conclusion. And often, and what it says here, what invariably, that means 99.9% of the time, when one is trying to figure out what the nature of the world is, what the purpose, and one invariably comes to a conclusion of impersonal realization. Not even realization, but an impersonal void form that's... What's wrong with that conclusion? Impersonal. What's the shortcoming of impersonally understanding the Lord's...
One thing, there's nothing to talk about. There's no narration.
Okay, you're right, okay, all right. What else is lacking there?
Laura,
what else is lacking there?
Yeah, I was going to say activity and also love.
Love, yeah, and not just a little bit of love. How's that, the spiritual world and the realization of the spiritual world explained by Lord Chaitanya? Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. It's an ocean of bliss, but it's ananda. It's not limited. It's ever-increasing bliss. And someone who comes to the realization or the conclusion that there's void, there's nothing, they're missing out on that ever-increasing ocean of bliss. It's not just a small thing that they miss out on. They miss out on a lot. They miss out on the natural position of the living entity to serve the Lord and the bliss that they experience. Who can tell me some of the comparisons that you've heard about comparing the bliss of the bliss of realization of impersonal Brahman compared to the ocean of spiritual realization in bhakti? Arjuna?
Prabodhanand Saraswati or Prakashanand Saraswati? Prabodhanand Saraswati, I think, that says in Kevalyam Narkayate, it is like hellish existence because you're missing on so much fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So much fun. Valentina, mic down this way.
I think
when it's impersonal, it's actually an excuse to really deepen your relationship with your body. So you have nothing to hear or talk about. Therefore, you're just more focused on yourself. Mm. And because we are attracted to personality, we only get more captured on the body's sense of it.
So much is lost.
There's so much limitation because you're going to get bored of like thinking of yourself or how you're doing and your practice and everything, as opposed to offering it to the Supreme. So there is a limitation.
Okay, there's a great limitation. Srila Rupa Goswami gives many comparisons to the ocean, to the level of happiness. Can you think of them? Rasaraj?
Doesn't he compare that to the water that fits inside of a calf's hoofprint?
What does he compare that to?
The ocean.
What ocean?
The bliss in the material world is compared to the water in the calf's footprint, and the bliss in the spiritual world is the ocean.
Okay, yeah, right. In other words, what's the comparison to the half a cup of water, fourth of a cup of water that's there in the calf's hoofprint, to the unlimited ocean of even if the, you know, how do you compare that? It's nothing. Anyway, so that's impersonal realization put down by the great acharyas. The word Jivanti indicates that a devotee who always hears about Lord Krishna will go back home, back to Godhead, even if he can do nothing except maintain his existence and hear topics concerning the Lord. Hari Bol. I'm going to read that again just in case you were semi-snoozing. The Lord Jivanti indicates that a devotee who always hears about Lord Krishna will go back home, back to Godhead, even if he can do nothing except maintain his existence and hear topics concerning about the Lord. How does that make you feel? How else does it make you feel? How can you apply that practically? Tulsi? Okay, thanks. Tulsi? Mike. It's coming. It's just a little.
Not just coming to class, but I feel like hearing as much as humanly possible. Like, it's been really hard, like, living all alone in Jacksonville. And so whenever I'm not doing something that I need my ears for, I always have a lecture plan.
Yeah.
I'm cooking, cleaning, organizing something. It's like
try to hear
constant
more.
Trying to hear.
Exactly. So, I try to hear more and try to think of ways that you can hear more. Sometimes it's not possible to sit down with a book, whatever, or hear a class or whatever. But, you know, there's so many facilities and devices and paraphernalia that will aid you, that you can utilize to try to hear more. So try to hear more. Take advantage of very encouraging statements like this and maximize it to as much as you can. Vaishnav, do you want to continue reading from here, Srila Sanatana Goswami, please? Thank you.
Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained the words Tanuvan Manobi by the body, words, and mind in three ways. In reference to devotees, through their body, words, and mind, they are able to conquer Lord Krishna. Thus becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness, they can touch his lotus feet with their hands, come to come with their words, and attain his direct audience within their mind simply by thinking about him.
Thanks. Rasharaji, want to continue, please?
In the case of non-devotees, the words Tanuvan Manobi refer to the word Ajita, unconquered, and indicate that those not engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna cannot conquer the absolute truth by their bodily strength, verbal expertise, or mental power. Despite all their endeavors, the ultimate truth remains beyond their reach.
Thanks. Ananta?
In reference to the word jitta, conquered, the words tanuvan manopi indicate that the pure devotees of Lord Krishna conquer his body, words, and mind. Lord Krishna's body is conquered because he always remains by the side of his pure devotees. Lord Krishna's words are conquered because he always chants the glories of his devotees. And Lord Krishna's mind is conquered because he always thinks about his loving devotees.
Thanks. Can you black out the screen for a second, or is that hard to do? And then come back. if it's not, anyway, whatever. Okay, so what were the three words that were being described there in three different ways? Clayton? Okay, means? Yeah, body, words, and mind. So what was the first way that Srila Sanatana Goswami described it in relation to the devotees? Tanu van manobi. Hold on, we'll get someone else, maybe. The first way in relation to the devotees, how do they conquer the Lord with their body, mind, and words? Tulsa?
Conquer the Lord with their body by offering service to mm-hmm. him with their body.
Mm-hmm.
And with their words by glorifying the Lord and chanting his names. And mind by always thinking of the Lord and remembering. I like how it was saying how the Lord, his body, mind, and words was conquered by his devotees. So that
that's
really
a different
sweet.
One, yeah. Okay, also, they would call the Lord. They would call, here's, I'll just read it again. Becoming perfect, they can touch his lotus feet with their hands, call him to come with their words, and attain direct audience with their mind. Direct audience with him, with their mind, simply by thinking about him. He's non-different. By your thought, he's there. By your chanting his name, he's there. And gradually, we'll come to understand, yes, he's really here. The other one, do you remember? I'll give you a hint. The non-devotees, how, what was it? It was in relation, Tanu van Manobi was in relation to a different word. Because the first one was how the devotees conquered. So the non-devotees, do you remember, Damodar? Ajita. Unconquered. So how is it that devotees are, they can't conquer him? How? Yeah, mm-hmm. Their bodily strength, their verbal expertise, or mental power. I just like that phrase better. Okay, and then the last one, remember how it was described, the last one? Tanu van Manobi was in reference to the word jita. So what does jita mean, aside from the temple president's wife? What was that mean? Conquered. So how was it... Can you give it the rest of the explanation, Clayton? Some of it? Oh, well, thanks for pointing that out. Humble. Rasaraj Prabhu?
Krishna's mind is conquered because he's always thinking of his devotees.
Yes.
And his words are conquered because he's always speaking the glories of his devotees. And his body's conquered because he's always... like near the side of his devotees.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? How that, how Krishna, how we see the personal reciprocation of the Lord. He's always glorifying his devotees. He's always thinking of his devotees. Sugopiji, Sundri, I always put that extra Su in. Sorry.
We were just talking about that last night in Gita class about how just remembering Krishna, we can be with him. And Prabhupada in the Purport for 8.14, he says that a pure devotee never forgets Krishna and Krishna never forgets his pure
never
devotee.
Forgets his pure devotee.
That's so
amazing. Sweet.
Sweet,
isn't it? Uh-huh. Okay, let's continue. Do you want to read, Prabhu? Can you remind me what your name is?
Jake.
Okay. When it gets really simple, those are the ones I forget the most.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained the words tanvan manobhi in regard to the word namanta, offering obeisances. He explains that the devotees can take full advantage of the transcendental topics of the Lord by offering all respects to those topics with their body, words, and mind. One should engage his body by touching the ground with his hands and head while offering obeisances to the topics of the Lord. One should engage his words by praising transcendental literatures such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as the devotees who are preaching such literatures. And one should engage his mind by feeling great reverence and pleasure while hearing the transcendental topics of the Lord. In this way, a sincere devotee who has acquired even a small amount of transcendental knowledge about Lord Krishna can conquer him and thus go back home back to Godhead for eternal life at the Lord's side.
Jai, Haripal. So it explains in that last part that Jake just read that one should engage his words by praising transcendental literatures such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, how would you like to practice praising Srimad Bhagavatam? If you were going to praise Srimad Bhagavatam, what would you like to say? Think of some praises that you could offer. Damodar, you get just...
Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless transcendental literature because it fully elucidates all the most confidential knowledge of the absolute truth. It's unparalleled amongst all Vedic literatures.
See, he can't stop. He just starts and he just can't stop. It goes on and on.
We practice like this regularly, actually.
Jai, good. Someone else? Some praise of Mike? Can you pass it to Mike? Mike, the mic. Or Bhagavad Gita. It's okay. You can choose.
Hari Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know if you could say that, but...
Hari?
Doesn't Hari mean... Yeah, I am. Never mind. Well, I was singing like Srimad Bhagavatam is singing as Krishna, so I was like trying to play that off. But
okay.
Srimad Bhagavatam makes me feel, you know, makes me feel really like detached from all my problems and just really puts me in that mood of great appreciation for the Lord.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks. Someone else? Wherever you are. Prahlad. You're not Prahlad. You're Prahlad?
Yeah,
okay, Prahlad. All right. Sorry. Prahlad.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas.
It is. Good. Micah. Something.
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Very good. Thanks. Nimai, you got it.
It's like a sun which has risen in Kali Yuga to dispel the darkness.
Very nice, thanks. How about on this side, our shy side, the shy side? Sankalpa.
Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam is an ocean of pastimes, which are extremely interesting because they are out of this world.
Thank you, very good. Chaitanya.
Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of all the Vedic literatures, dealing only with Krishna and his pure devotees.
Jai. Simple. Oh, okay, Tulsi.
Srimad Bhagavatam is our very best friend.
Oh.
He's always telling us exactly what we need to hear. And I really like how the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's got so much excitement in it. Like everything people are looking for in television and in movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you open up the Bhagavatam and somehow or other it's coming because it's just all a perverted reflection of the desire to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Jai, thanks. Jake, did you want to say something, Jake?
It's completely devoid of the cheating propensity of all religions, which is...
Nirmat Saranam Satyam. Okay, that reminded Mike of something else.
I just like to think that, because it's true, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are sound incarnations of Lord Krishna himself.
They are. So who wouldn't want to associate with the incarnation of the Lord personally, even up in their room? He's there in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, Arjuna. See, once we start, it takes a while, but then you warm up and you think, oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
I heard in a class by Gaurang Prabhu, he explained in detail that For every ailment of the body, we go to doctor for the medicine, but there is no medicine for the mind. And Srimad Bhagavatam is that medicine for the mind. The spirit soul has been in millions of life, in which he has gone through a lot of suffering, due to which his heart is like in tears, and he says that this Bhagavatam is a solution for those that it removes the subtle impressions from the previous lives and liberates us.
Jai. There's a verse, I think it's in the fourth canto, that you reminded me of when you said about the heart is in tears. How that the... I'm a little rusty on this, but anyway, something to the effect of that the smile of the Lord is so wonderful and beautiful and brilliant that it dries up the ocean of tears that's in the heart of his devotees. Okay, Gopal, you came in just in time. Good. The mic's right there.
You can open it any time at any place and find something that is relevant to what's
going on in your mind or your life
right
then.
It's alive.
It's living, yeah.
It's alive. Very good. Anyone else feels neglect? Oh, Kalakanta Prabhu?
There's a phrase in the temple describing the Bhagavatam as fragrant nectar.
Oh, fragrant nectar. Wow. Hare Rama. Can be heard, smelled, and tasted. Okay, Jake, I was going to. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. What about it? Yeah, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed. Micah, you have something else? Oh, very good. Very good. And just see how, just by just these few little glorifications, just see how you feel uplifted just by glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a thing, one time, sometimes, when we have our different classes in different places, when it talks about glorifying the Lord, we take, 10 or 15 minutes and we have everybody just say something to each other. In a pastime or something that's directly glorifying the Lord. And at first everyone thinks, oh, I don't know what to say. And then they think, and then they start a pastime. And then the volume just picks up and everybody comes really enlivened. The whole room starts to like soar in the sky because just by glorifying the Lord and his devotees and Srimad Bhagavatam, one's heart becomes joyful. So, yes.
Radhadesh, they keep the Srimad Bhagavatam on the altar, like they actually worship the Srimad Bhagavatam, like literally.
Nice. So this is how we can apply these instructions, these wonderful tidbits of transcendental knowledge that we get in Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Apply it to your life. Don't just become armchair philosophers. Prabhupada used that. You sit in the chair and you read it and you close the book and you go away and you never think about it again and you don't see how it applies to your life and you go on. No. Figure out how you can apply these information to your life. Test it out. Test out what you've just heard. Does it really bring transcendental pleasure? Does it really change your heart? Is there really such great expectation of the hope of the promises that are there? Just like this one sentence that I read in from the first paragraph. The word Jivanti indicates that a devotee who always hears about the Lord will go back home, back to Godhead, even if he can do nothing except maintain his existence and hear topics concerning the Lord. That's like so amazingly encouraging. So throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, throughout the Vedic, what he's translated, what we have, Nectar Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita, there's so many prayers by devotees that are offered. And they're offering them with the aspiration to attain the highest goal of life. So but at the same time, while they're aspiring to attain that highest goal of life, they're explaining, they're stating their fallen condition. So these acharyas, the prayers by the acharyas, and even some of the verses from Sukadeva Goswami, they're sometimes expressing a state of hopelessness. And we kind of experienced that a little bit in the previous week, the verse, when we got a little bit of a glimpse of the high quality of purity that's necessary for one to make progress in spiritual life, how one has to become completely devoid of any attachment, taste, any desire for material enjoyment. And when you hear statements like that, and you realize where we're at in our sojourn for perfection, just the very beginning baby steps that we've taken, and you think, oh, this is so far away, so difficult to achieve. But the acharyas, they give these very nice prayers which explain which kind of like go on a scale from hopeless to the highest hope. They don't leave you, these prayers by the acharyas, they don't leave you without the highest hope. They're expressing the sentiment of how hopeless it is for me to attain these things, but at the same time they're expressing their intense eagerness to achieve the mercy of the Lord. So that's one of the things that I got from this verse in purport, how that we're never without hope. We're never without hope of achieving the highest goal of life. So how here it's expressed that if you simply go on chanting the Lord's glories, no matter where, how you're situated in the Varnashram system, whether you're a householder, whether you're a brahmacharya, whether you're this, whether you're that, however, whatever your position is, it's not, your position is, you can still achieve the highest goal of life in whatever position, as opposed to in the different paths, the different yoga system, the different paths, the processes of yoga, like in Astanga yoga or Jnana yoga particularly, one can't even approach starting Jnana yoga until they take sannyas, until they realize to taken that step to renounce everything, all their attachments in the material world, then they can start. So the process of the qualification for starting these other processes of yoga is so highly elevated that it's practically impossible to apply that in this age of Kali Yuga. In this age of Kali Yuga, when we're so fallen and our senses are so wildly uncontrolled, that how is it that starting off by taking sannyas, that's a path that's like easily traversed. It's so difficult. So in these, sometimes you come across different verses that might strike you, that give you inspiration or enthusiasm or hope, make you feel hopeful of attaining that. And I would encourage you to take them and try to memorize them. Take them and write them down. Try to memorize them so that when the mind plays its tricks and says, oh, woe is me, I'm so fallen, my mind's so crazy, I'm so this, I'm so that, I'm so disqualified, there's no hope for me, that you can actually bring out some of your arsenal of prayers. So Nectar of Devotion, particularly because I've read it a few times, has so many beautiful prayers in there, some by quoted from the scriptures and some that Srila Rupa Goswami has composed himself. One of them that comes to mind is, I don't remember which chapter it's in, but it's in one of those earlier chapters, Na Shremna Shravanadi Bhakti. It's not probably perfect Sanskrit, but only you know the Sanskrit probably. Na Shremna Shravanadi Bhakti Api Vaishnavo Jnanam Vash. Jnanam va shriya karma hinari. Anyway. Hinartika sadakaye. What's next? Hey, gopi janavalava haha madasaivavan. Is that right? I probably mixed two verses. I'm looking at you, but I know I'm talking to Damodar. Anyway, what it means in English is, I have no love for Krishna, nor am I qualified to execute the process of bhakti yoga. Nor was I born, I don't have any qualifications. I wasn't born in a high family. I have no good qualifications. So I'm practically hopeless. But still, because, O Gopi Janavallabha, O Krishna, O beloved of the gopis, because you bestow your mercy on the most fallen, I have an unbreakable hope. I have an unbreakable hope that's always in my heart, and that hope has given me pain. And that's his prayer. That's his prayer. He's revealing his heart and his mind to the Lord. Please, just, I have my faith in you, and you're very kind to the devotees, you're very merciful to the devotees. In fact, in 8th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Bali Maharaj, there's a description of the Lord as... Hold on, it's blank. When the Lord sees the good qualities in others. Thank you. Bhavagrahi Janardana. Bhavagrahi Janardana. He sees the good qualities in others. And what's who's given as an example? Just like Putana, when he saw Putana coming to kill him, well, that was her intention. She smeared poison on her breast. Her intention was to kill him. But she came in the guise of a mother to have him suck her breast. So he saw, she approached me like a mother. He saw the good qualities. She had 5 million tons of bad qualities and 1 gram of good quality. And he saw that. And he took that and gave her the position. He elevated her, purified her by killing her. Minor detail, but still. And elevating her to the position like a mother, like a nurse in her next life. So who can be more merciful than that? Who can be more merciful? Bhavagrahi Janardana. And there's other prayers. There's a prayer by Sanatana Goswami in Krishna Lila Stava. So Krishna Lila Stava is a series of 108 obeisances that Srila Sanatana Goswami offers to each pastime of the Lord. His birth pastime is this pastime that he offers a glorification and an obeisances. And at the end of that, there's a really nice prayer for the mercy, which I'm going to read to you. Okay, so it's a little bit long, not too long, but it's a little bit long. But it has a really nice ending, if you ask me. And it's a prayer to Lord Chaitanya. It's in that picture of Lord Chaitanya. In his Nagar Sankirtan is inspiring me. So here he says, Divine Lord Chaitanya, beautiful Lord of golden limbs, I offer you my respects. O darling son of Sachi, O master, crest jewel of sannyasis, please save me. Your arms reach down to your knees and a smile lights your face, ornament of Nilachala. You brought to the world the sweet chanting of the Supreme Lord's names. You glorify Sri Advaitacharya. You are eager to please Sarvabhauma. You show great affection to Ramananda, and you are the friend of the Vaishnavas. O vast ocean of immortal love for Sri Krishna's lotus feet, I bow down to you. And then he says, Will you ever remember me, the most fallen of the fallen? Now you make your names appear from my mouth, and sometimes you allow me to remember your lotus feet in my heart. Even though my body is most lowly, please engage it in offering you these obeisances. Please protect me from all dangers and give me the treasure of devotional service to you. Your mercy is a great wonder, non-different from you. It is pure eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It, your mercy, it can empower me to always remember and glorify you in pure love. Krishna's mercy can do that. It can empower me to always remember and glorify you in pure love. It can attain for me your loving sidelong glance. It can enable me to see you immersed in the company of the cows and cowherd boys and girls. Thus, for a helpless person like me, it is the ultimate resort of all hopes. Your wonderful mercy is ancient and eternal, but also ever new and fresh. To your mercy, again and again, I offer my obeisances forever. Haribol. So these are, sometimes you'll come across beautiful prayers like this. So take them up, write them down, put them aside, and offer them with your heart and mind and words. And that way, all of these promises that have been recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam and explained by the Acharyas, they'll blossom within your heart. And all the difficulties that might be plaguing you at different times will just melt away to insignificant pieces of dust. Hari Bol. then someone will have to come and clean the dust up. But that's okay. That's their problem. Okay? Hari Rama. Okay, any comments or questions? Sankalpa. How long does it take? It takes 39 and a half seconds. Or it can take 39 and a half million years. Or it can take 4 trillion lifetimes. But it depends on how eager one is. And if one with heartfeltness offers those prayers, then it takes less than a second. Alex, did you want to say something before?
Yes, I did. I wanted to say, you were talking about how Krishna is unconquerable.
He's unconquerable. Ajita. Aha. Uh-huh. Right.
I also wanted to say, we were talking about hope, and I was also thinking about the transcendental hope that all the
saints
people took back to Godhead. Uh-huh. Where did it go?
It's still on this side. Oh, it's still here.
It's still here.
Oh, Jai.
They took the boat and it went away, and now we don't have a boat.
No, okay, good. Isn't that wonderful? You have to always remember that, Alex. Micah,
we're talking
thank
about,
you.
Haribo, thank you for class. We're talking about body, mind, and words.
Yes.
So the sannyasi carries the danda.
Yes.
I was just curious how that started. He carries the danda for 10 years. To offer, isn't it offering body, mind, and
it
words?
It is offering body, mind, and words. And how did it start?
Yeah, what's the origin of this?
Somewhere deep back in the recesses of history. Oh, Kalakanta wants to say.
I don't know.
Don't know.